And welcome to the second episode of Radiodrome, take three.
Now we're going to go for take three.
Yeah, it's take three.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties. We actually would have had this recorded last week, but technical difficulties plagued us. Then technical difficulties plagued us again today, just about half an hour ago.
Not quite as bad as what happened last week, though.
Last week was terrible. 24 minutes into the show, we're recording this sketch that you're going to hear here in a little bit. We got a little too overconfident with the computer that we used, because the first episode, we didn't save it once until it was ready to be uploaded. We didn't save it once.
You just didn't think about it.
Yeah, just didn't think about it. Well, the second episode, 24 minutes into it, the recorder crashes.
Yeah, crap.
So pissed.
You were, like, really pissed. Like, oh, fuck, god damn it, fucking son of a bitch. I'm actually sitting here relatively calm considering
right?
the situation. And I'll tell you why. It's because of that... has happened to me many, many times. Not with necessarily a program like this, but like with editing video on Studio 9.
Right, same here.
That's happened to me before, and it's a fucking crapshoot when it happens on like when you're working with like Pinnacle Studio, because it can crash, and when it does, you have to cross your fingers that when you relaunch the program...
Yeah, hope that it's still
there. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, but sometimes, and it's happened before, I've had to re-edit videos because of that fucking software crashing. And other times, it like, kind of meets you, like, you know... It meets you halfway.
Yeah. Like
the progress that was.
Of it's there.
Some of it's still edited. You just have to go back a couple of steps.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, same here. I've had that happen to me too, but it's still just a pain in the ass. It's
yeah.
Just,
uh-huh. It sucks. It sucks when that happens.
And,
but
and maybe I'm just a spaz.
Oh, that's happened to me many a times. Maybe that's why I was so mellow when that happened. Like, another Wednesday. So we could have, actually, then when that happened, we could have just hit record again and then just started over again. But it's
we're
better...
just mentally spent, I think.
Mentally spent, and it's better to give it a few days that way... you can talk about the same thing,
right?
And it'll seem
and maybe
a little
even add
more,
some more stuff.
Fresh.
Yeah.
It's what we're doing right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
We didn't talk about the program crashing
exactly.
last time.
Exactly. and I think, you know, we were going to mention something about Mike Tyson, you know, getting married for the third time. But you know what? That's old news now, so.
So let's talk about Punch-Out.
Yes, let's, because I played that for Wii.
You did?
Yeah, it's out at GameStop right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so much fun.
That's what I heard. Oh, God,
that
yeah.
is so much fun. Now, whenever I first stepped up to play it, I what's cool about the game is that if you want to, you can actually set the controls to play it like it was back in NES.
Oh, like
A and B,
yeah,
and, you know,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was, and you know, here I am playing it like that, thinking, well, this is stupid. I mean, if I wanted to do this, I could have popped in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for the NES. But no, the guy at the GameStop said, no, there's a setting on there.
Yeah.
So I'm over here, you know, switching the controllers, mm-hmm. and here I am. You know, punching with the nunchuck
yeah.
and the cool.
I kind of figured there'd be an option like that on there. I mean, I haven't played it. I kind of figured there'd be an option because some games on there you can actually hook in like a GameCube controller
yeah.
into the Wii and play it like that.
Yeah.
But I kept saying I was gonna buy it like the day it came out, but I work for a temp agency
yeah.
and. Freaking bad timing on being in between assignments.
Yeah.
And the fucking game is like $50. I mean,
oh, the Punch Out?
At least it was
oh,
the
yeah.
week it came out. And it's only been out for a little bit, so it might still be $50.
Yeah.
But so if it was like $20, I probably could have afforded it at the time, but I'm going to have to wait. And it's so bizarre, me going to buy a new video game. You know, I mean, I guess you figure if I'm going to buy any new video game, it probably is going to be an update on an old classic.
Yeah.
Because I really am my character in Game Boys.
Yeah.
I don't play newer video games. It's not that I don't like them. The newer video games I played, I like. It's just not my thing. I just love the older games so much better. That's
I remember
what I
whenever you showed me how you play, like, GoldenEye and everything. Oh, yeah. Mission Impossible.
Here's what you gotta do. It's simple.
Oh,
you gotta,
I started laughing.
You gotta
my
go
ass
to
off.
The embassy level. You punch a random person in the face and see how long it takes for the cops to catch up to you. I mean, you can try cheating and just skip a step and just punch the cop in the face.
Man.
It's not going to work.
Oh, man.
It's not going to work because you punch him in the face once, he doesn't go down. And,
and then we got the blow dart.
The blow dart.
And we were like, we killed the piano player.
You shoot the blow dart at the piano player. And like, oh, my God, someone's killed the piano player. And then when you go and you punch the bartender, and the bartender in that particular level is on your team, so he knows exactly who you are. So you'll punch him, and he'll say, "Ethan, what the fuck are you doing?" You won't say it like that, but kind of like that.
Yeah.
But
now going back to Punch Out, what's cool is Punch Out also works for the Wii Fit balance board. Like you can
oh the rolling up. Rocker.
Basically, yeah, it is basically the rolling rocker. But what's great is you could actually like lean to the left and dodge, lean
yeah.
to the right and dodge, and
mm-hmm.
and back and everything. So yeah, it's really fun.
There's only been like a handful of Wii games that I've even played. Just basically
yeah.
like Wii Sports, the Wii
yeah.
game that everybody is playing,
right.
You know, and I really. Like I said, I just don't really play newer games that often, but I really wanted to check out that that House of the Dead game that's out, only because it looks like a Grindhouse film. It looks like it's all grainy and everything.
Nice.
It looks like an old Grindhouse film.
Nice.
And it's zombies, so honestly, it looks like Planet Terror, the game.
Yes! Is Bruce Willis in it?
Where's the shit? What the fuck is that? They're balls, sweetheart.
They're balls, sweetheart.
Oh my God, I love that fucking movie. I love that movie so much.
But let's see, what else has been going on?
Well, you said you had a weekend from hell.
Oh God, yes. That was actually the weekend that I played Punch-Out.
Were you relieving stress by hitting things?
My aggression.
Aggression. You
yeah.
got your aggression out.
No, my sister was in town, and don't get me wrong, I love my sister. I really do, but she...
Well, you know she's listening, right?
No, she's not. She don't listen to this. Now, excuse me if I sound like a bastard, but my sister is visually impaired, and she's also physically impaired. She's disabled on her right side. It's a long story that I'd rather not go into, but basically, she's still like this her same old self, and that's the problem, is that she became this way at
yeah.
9 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she still acts like she's 9 years old.
Oh, no.
And she's 25. I just gotta call her a little girl because she really is. She acts like a little girl. So here's this girl that, you know, calls me up at 8 in the morning after I specifically told her, Brandy, do not call me when you get up. I will call you when I get up.
Yeah, that was me. That was right.
Damn you!
Jared, it's Brandy. I need you to come get me. I'm in a dumpster. Don't ask me why there's a payphone in here.
yeah, so she's just driving me nuts, calling me nonstop and barking out commands where she wants to go, what, you know, what she wants to do, this, that, and the other. So
Take me to Disneyland.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, so by the time Sunday rolls around and it's time for her to leave, it's like you just can't get on that train fast enough.
Yeah. Right.
So, yes, so to our adoring fans, I apologize for seeming like a jackass, but seriously, if you knew my sister, you'd understand.
One guy listening, I understand. Do you remember the days when I was quite a drinker? Do you remember the days where I would drunk dial you at like 4 in the morning?
hey, Jared, what's going on? I'm sleeping. Well, come out to the bar. We're gonna go over to Alex's.
dude, you gotta come out to the bar. Come on over. We're gonna watch Cannibal Holocaust.
Ooh,
dude. You're going to love this movie. Oh, my God. Cannibals and gore, and it's starring the sports store owner from Debbie Does Dallas. You're going to love it.
Dude, got to come over. There's this movie. It's Nazi Germany. They're eating poo. It's sallow. It's great.
I must have been drunk if I said that. And what's so funny about that is that, like, I probably passed out about 15 minutes after I made those phone calls. I was not in the right frame of mind at all to sit through an entire movie.
Oh, I know. Which is why I was like, oh, okay, I'll be right over, click, and then I go back to bed.
Liar!
So shall we do some news?
Let's do a little bit of news here. Eli Roth, soon to be seen in Inglourious Basterds, opened up to genre journalist Alan Jones about a number of projects the Hostelhelmer has in the works. The one that made this writer raise an eyebrow is a remake of Toby Hooper's The Funhouse. About 2 weeks ago, one of our sponsors was raising some noise that Universal was kicking around the idea of dusting the property off. And apparently that's true, and Roth is the one that's holding the Swiffer. He tells Fango that he's in talks with the studio to develop a remake under his newly formed Arcade banner, which he operates with producer Eric Newman. Here's what Eli Roth had to say. It should be about the kids getting killed in horrible ways. Put in different contraptions in the funhouse, and the final girl being strapped into the ride and sent into the tunnels to be confronted by terrifying ordeals of her dead friends. So, in other words, it's a slasher film. A smart remake could be so much fun. Kill the kids in fabulous ways and continually reuse the bodies by making them freaks in the freak museum, sew their eyes shut, Waxworks, that's the stuff I want to do in a remake of The Funhouse.
Fabulous!
Or The House of Wax, or Tourist Trap, or 5 different movies that he just described right there.
Right.
I don't know about this. I mean, it's not that I think that, like, The Funhouse is some kind of sacred horror property that should not even be touched.
Yeah, that's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well,
I think anyway.
I'll get to that in a second. But like, I don't have any problem with them if they want to remake The Funhouse. You know, fine. I've seen The Funhouse. It's okay. If done right, it could probably be even better than the original was. The original was okay. I mean, it's not something that I've seen more than once in my life, but. The reason why I don't want this to be remade is because apparently Eli Roth is doing it.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Eli Roth. Oh, God. By the way, this is a topic that we touched upon when we previously recorded this episode.
Yeah.
So we're kind of trying to
remake it.
How did I insult Eli Roth last time? What did I say? Something like writes dialogue about as good as Helen Keller.
Yeah.
I think I said that. But anyway, I went to go. I went to go see Cabin Fever in the theater. Cabin Fever was, I believe, the first movie he ever directed. He had like bit parts and some trauma stuff, I think, before Cabin Fever. But anyway,
really?
Yeah. He pops up in like, I think he's in the fourth Toxic Avenger movie. Is like an extra. I saw Cabin Fever in the theater, and it's the only movie that I've ever been to in the theater where I hated that goddamn movie so much. It wasn't that I just... Because I watch bad movies.
Yeah.
You know, I watch bad movies. I love a lot of bad movies. I love a lot of bad movies. This one, though, is that kind of bad movie where you're just sitting there pissed off at how bad this movie is. This movie is... It's not a horror film. It's Porky's Revenge with blood. I want to see Porky's Revenge. I'll watch Porky's Revenge. I don't want to watch Porky's Revenge. Right. I want to watch the original Porky's.
Right.
You know, the original Porky's with some blood in it. That could be fine.
That could be fun.
You know, that could be okay. It could be...
He sticks his wang in the hole and the chick
exactly.
chops it off.
That would be hilarious. You'd have, like, you know, Slaughter High on your hands or something like that. That was a good slasher movie. I sat in that fucking theater watching that whole movie, Cabin Fever, and when it was over, I hated it so much that this is the only time I've ever done this. I had to go see another movie that day.
Oh, yeah!
That could not be the only theater experience I had that particular day. I had to cleanse my palate, so to speak, you know, completely... Wipe
get the taste out of your mouth.
Get the icky fucking Rider Strong taste out of my mouth. It's one of the worst horror films I've ever seen in my life. And I went to go see... What did I go see? What is the other movie I went to go see? That? Oh, it was Matchstick Men. Infinitely better than Cabin Fever. And I have seen... every one of Eli Roth's movies. I've seen Hostel.
What did you think of Hostel?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I didn't hate it as much as I did Cabin Fever. Like, when Hostel was over, I just thought, like, well, I did that today. It wasn't a situation where, like, where it's either like, either I go see another movie in the theater or I'm going to have something to stick in this noose.
Now, I liked it. I thought
what,
it
was Hostel?
Cool. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked how it was gory. I liked kind of the twist that it was a resort. It really made you think about the liberties that you have in Europe. You know, that you know, like you can go to Amsterdam and get high, get laid, you know, all that other stuff. And
but I could learn that from Eurotrip.
Eurotrip. That movie was fun too.
I like Eurotrip.
Eurotrip was fun.
My problem with Hostel is the first half of the movie just sucks.
Yeah.
You're watching the Bikini Car Wash Company essentially in the first half of the movie. You're watching any Skinamax flick that ever aired in the mid-90s, you're almost sitting there like, it's almost like you're seeing Shannon Tweed on the screen. And you're sitting there like, how does Andrew Stevens not know what's going on? That's the first half of that goddamn movie. It's Buford's Beach Bunnies in Amsterdam. And then in the second half of it, had some decent stuff in it, but... in that, like, the gore was pretty good and whatnot. My problem, Eli Roth is the worst dialogue writer since, like, Greg Araki.
Yeah.
This guy cannot write dialogue to talk him out of the stickiest fucking hostage situation in his life. He cannot write for shit. He now can write gore. I mean, he's obvious. I've seen the guy in interviews.
Yeah.
He knows his horror films.
Yeah.
He's actually kind of a funny guy in his interviews. He has seen a lot of horror films. He knows a lot about horror films.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a horror guy. he has no talent when it comes to writing dialogue.
Oh, well, that interview right there that you just read off of says it all. I mean, mm-hmm. he uses fabulous as an adjective for,
that's
like,
actually a step up for him. Whether it's
kill the kids in fabulous ways.
He always has some way of putting annoying kids in his movies.
Oh, God.
Whether it's the pancakes kid from the Cabin Fever, which made no sense whatsoever.
Or the kids in Hostel.
The kids in Hostel, or the stupid Smints shit from Hostel 2. Yeah. And Hostel 2, that's another thing. What did that probably take him, like 5 minutes to write that movie?
I don't even know why he made it, really.
Have you seen it?
No.
You've never. Well, you've seen the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
You've essentially seen the second
exactly.
one.
Exactly, which is why I didn't want to go see the second one, because it was like, why?
yeah. It's the second one is the first one, but check this out, right? Here's how they spin it, right? You know how in the first one, it was a group of guys were the main characters. In the second one, make sure you're seated.
Okay.
The second one, it's a group of girls.
No way.
Oh, my God.
No way. Mm-hmm. So they go to Amsterdam. Why do girls need to go to Amsterdam to pay to get laid?
Because they're lesbians, my friend. Oh, my God. And that, and like, there was an inkling of a, where you could have seen where Hostel Part 2 could have been kind of decent. And here's what it is. Every now and then, the movie has a subplot about a couple of businessmen who also go to Slovakia because they've purchased the rights to torture some of these girls. Mm-hmm. So they are, like, the people who are paying.
The clients.
The clients, yeah. And if the whole movie had been told from their point of view, that would have been something different.
Yeah.
That would not have been the first one over again.
Yeah.
It would have been something original, something from a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's an Eli Roth film.
Exactly.
You're not going to fucking get that.
Exactly.
And so the movie, it just completely fucked itself over.
Right.
It sucked. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't insultingly bad like Cabin Fever. It just sucked because it's essentially the first one over again.
Right, exactly.
And I remember going to see, when I went to go see Grindhouse, and they had the fake trailers in there. And honestly, Eli Roth had the best of the fake trailers. He did the Thanksgiving fake trailer, which clearly means that give Eli Roth anything to make that's over 3 minutes long, he's going to find some way to fuck it up. And, like, as long as his shit is 3 minutes long, he's okay.
Right.
But I remember leaving the theater with Jake, our buddy Jake, who I went to go see Grindhouse with. And Jake was saying, oh my God, dude, they need to make that into a full-length movie. He's talking about Thanksgiving. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, totally, oh my God. And then I remembered, I was like, wait a minute.
No.
Eli Roth would find some way to fuck that up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we were talking about, we touched base on Eurotrip. What is with both Eurotrip and Hostel? Is Eastern Europe really that bad? I mean, you...
Well, you could look at it from either way. Either Eastern Europe is like the 1980s, in which case, fucking awesome. I want to go to Eastern Europe right now. Or Eastern Europe is... you're going to get tortured. That's kind of a gamble.
Or you could be tortured by 80s.
All you need to do is you just need to go to you need to go to India. That way you could be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, win millions of dollars,
get tortured. Slumdog Millionaire. I have yet to see that yet, and I guess I just ruined it. In our first attempt at this episode, I asked Brad. I go, I have never seen it. And I'm not even sure really what it's all about, and he explained it to me. So would you like to explain it to maybe
I said something about the fact that, like, you know Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? Just picture that with torture. And you have your movie right there, Academy Award-winning film. No, it's actually a really good movie. What it is about is that this guy is on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire
in
and he's it. Yeah, and he's doing so good that they think he's cheating. How do they find out whether or not he's cheating? Easy. They chain him up and torture him. So he's got to explain how he knew all of these answers.
I'm smart.
And each one of the answers, most of them anyway, had something to do with something he'd experienced in his life, which is how he knows the correct answer for it. Mm. So it is a good movie. I'm over exaggerating the torture aspect of the movie. That's honestly just a little bit of the movie. It isn't like
how did you
know the answer to this? We're gonna shove bamboo in your fingernails.
It isn't
anything like that.
Ow, that just sounds painful.
It's just funny to describe that movie as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire meets torture.
Right. So he was doing so well. And we also mentioned that guy that actually won.
John Carpenter.
Yeah, John Carpenter, the guy that won the $1 million, the first guy to win the $1 million here in the States. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who goes through every question with no lifelines used.
Yeah.
$1 million question. He uses the phone a friend to call his dad just to say, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to win the $1 million."
No, that's not what I would have done. I would have called like an ex-girlfriend. That's clearly what you got to do in that situation.
Yeah, bitch.
Hey, bitch, I just won $1 million. I love you. Will you call me now, please? I miss you.
Oh, God.
Crap. I'm on live TV. Fuck, I was so cool there for like 30 seconds. Call me, please. I love you.
Oh, man. But that's pimp right there. This guy basically is like, yeah, what's up? I'm going to win the $1 million. You know, I'm just that awesome. And the whole crowd got into it. They started applauding for him because
it could have been turned dark at the drop of a hat. He could have been like, "I'm the son you abandoned."
Oh, God. And I'm about to win $1 million. Do you love me now, Daddy?
Oh, all of a sudden, this guy is Hurley from Lost. Cheech Marin is his father.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. This is the Radio Drum.